the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning, you're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Thursday morning. We're so glad to have you with us. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up this morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Hey guys, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
Today good morning.
Is Holy Thursday, the first day of the Triduum. It's also the feast of St. Crescentia Hess. So we will begin on this holiest of Thursdays with prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O God, who have called us to participate in this most sacred supper, in which your only begotten Son, when about to hand himself over to death, entrusted to the Church a sacrifice new for all eternity, the banquet of his love. Grant, we pray, that we may draw from so great a mystery the fullness of charity and of life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Crescentia Hess, pray for us.
Pray for us. We have a great show for you today, starting off with some events in our listening area we will give you details about. That is coming up in 8 minutes. In 18 minutes, Debbie Shelley joins us. Debbie is the assistant editor with the Catholic Commentator, the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. She's going to be updating us on what you're going to be finding in this week's issue. And in 35 minutes, Michael Acaldo joins us. He's the president and CEO with St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge. And he's going to be telling us all the wonderful things going on for the month of April at St. Vincent de Paul. And in 48 minutes, Father Bryce Higginbotham joins us once again this week. He's a priest of the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau and student at the Pontifical Biblical Institute in Rome. And today we're going to be talking about the Triduum, diving deeper into it as we start on this Holy Thursday. So looking forward to hearing from Father Bryce today. And Damian, looking forward to your weather report. It's a little... for the weekend.
It's warm and muggy to start today. I will say that. The day, we will see thunderstorms sometime this afternoon. You can expect that. This is a major front coming through pretty much across the whole country. Fortunately, I think we're going to avoid a lot of the severe weather. We're praying that we will. We do have an 80% chance of getting wet. Winds are out of the southeast right now at 5 to 10. The high today is expected to be about 81, and it looks like we'll see rainy conditions through Saturday. Hopefully, we'll end by early afternoon, maybe even sooner if it blows through quick enough, which will make the Easter weekend really more enjoyable. We got a 90% chance of rain tomorrow, as I said, 80% today, and then 70% on Saturday. So let's keep our fingers crossed and hope the rain clears out in time for family gatherings. Tomorrow, the high is only going to be in the low 70s, so it is bringing cooler temperatures to our area, and it's going to remain in the 70s through early next week. Currently, we are in the 70s, but it's going to warm up today a little bit, but not much. Temperatures in and around the area, 74 degrees on the North Shore, as well as in Bay St. Louis and Baton Rouge. It's 76 in Homo-Thibodeau, and in the Crescent City, it's 75 degrees. So let's hope we don't have too soggy of an Easter.
That's right.
But either way, it's going to be a great Easter.
It will be.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah, I agree. How could it not be?
That's right. The Lord will rise. All right. Stick around. We've got events. We're going to be hearing about what Jacob Zumo's got planned, as well as the Magnificat and more on Wake Up. It's 5 after.
Thank you. A blessed Holy Thursday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's Gospel reading is taken from the evening Mass of the Lord's Supper, which is being celebrated this evening in your parish. From John chapter 13. Before the feast of Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to pass from this world to the Father. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. The devil had already induced Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, to hand him over. So during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God, he rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not only my feet, but my hands and head as well." Jesus said to him, "Whoever has bathed has no need except to have his feet washed, for he's clean all over. So you were clean, but not all." For he knew who would betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, "Do you realize what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
On Holy Thursday, the Church brings us to the upper room in the Last Supper, when Jesus washed the feet of his apostles. This scene is very touching because it opens his farewell address to each of us. Knowing that he would soon exit us from this world, we are told he loved us to the end, that is, to the fullest extent, completely. As John describes the washing, he uses the same Greek verbs that are translated here as taking off and putting on Jesus' garments that were used before when Jesus spoke of laying down and taking up his life. Earlier, the apostles debated amongst themselves which of them was the greatest. By washing their feet, Jesus gave them an enduring lesson by performing the humble service of a slave. Jesus previously told them, "The Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for ransom for many." On Good Friday, Jesus will give them the greatest lesson in humility and service by embracing the humiliation and the suffering of the cross. Jesus' response to Peter, "Unless I wash you, you will have no inheritance with me," seems exaggerated, until we consider that foot washing was part of the apostles' ordination ceremony. Aaron and the Levites were required to wash their hands and feet before they offered sacrifice. It is clear that the apostles were ordained to share Jesus' priesthood when he charged them, "Do this in remembrance of me." For the Greek word translated as "do" is a technical term that means to offer sacrifice. It is used in this sense over 70 times in the Bible. Furthermore, this command is a present active indicative. It means to offer sacrifice repeatedly or continuously, which is why the Mass is celebrated so often. And so the Mass makes present the one unique sacrifice of Jesus into which we are called to offer ourselves. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
It's 11 after on a Thursday morning. Welcome back to Wake Up. And we have some events we want to share with you that you might be interested in attending. One in particular in Baton Rouge, local sacred artist Jacob Zumo, he is going to be hosting his second Saints by Number. It's his painting session where you can go and attend. He gives you instruction. You get to sip on a little wine, enjoy lunch. There's a talk by Father Joshua Johnson. You get to do a self-tour of his art gallery and studio. And it's going to be April 15th at his studio. It's located at I-12 in Baton Rouge from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's really a nice event. The beautiful part is when you're finished your painting, and you're going to be surprised how good it looks, because it is kind of like by numbers.
By number, I love it.
Yeah. You get to display it in your own home or office, wherever you'd like. So if you get a chance, you can go to jzumo.com and then just click Upcoming Events. Look for that tab. It'll give you all the information you need. And you can be under 21. You just won't get any wine.
Okay.
So the wine is for sipping while you paint. Outside of that, they give you all the supplies and everything. You just got to show up.
Do we know what saint it is for this one?
The Holy Spirit. I'm glad you asked.
Oh,
yeah, the theme is the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit by number.
Yeah, so that's the theme. And you know, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, Father Joshua Johnson's going to give a good talk. Mm-hmm. Won't be long, but it'll be impactful.
That's awesome. So, sounds like a great event.
It is.
Well, coming up on April 12th, the Baton Rouge chapter of the Magnificat is having their morning of prayer. That, again, is Thursday, April 12th. It will be held at Our Lady of Mercy in their PAC library. It begins at 9:30 and will end at 11:45. So that's a morning of prayer. They'll begin with the rosary and fellowship and praise and worship. So the Holy Spirit has always graced these gatherings. So you may want to mark that on your calendar and go and be blessed. Again, that is the Baton Rouge Magnificat chapter with their morning of prayer, April 12th at Our Lady of Mercy.
Well, for those hurting from abortion, there is forgiveness, hope, and peace through a Rachel's Vineyard retreat, which is coming up on April 21st through the 23rd. Please consider attending this faith-based healing retreat. All faiths are welcome, open to men and women, healing the pain of abortion one weekend at a time. So the price is $195 per person. There is financial assistance available. To register, there's a lot of phone numbers and emails, so I put it in the comments section for today's Facebook Live video. That's Wake Up Thursday, but I can also send the information to you via Facebook Messenger if you would like that.
Okie doke. All right, don't go too far, because Debbie Shelley's going to be with us, giving us an update of what's going on in and around the diocese by way of the Catholic commentator here in Baton Rouge. It is 15 after on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 6th. Today we celebrate St. Crescentia Hess. Determination and perseverance can take us to amazing heights. That certainly was true for St. Crescentia. Born into a poor Bavarian family in 1682, she showed an early interest in the church and spent many hours at her parish, praying and deepening her faith. As she grew older, Crescentia wished to enter a Franciscan convent. The superiors there refused her admission because she had no dowry and the convent was on weak financial footing. She was finally given permission, but only after pressure was applied by the town's Protestant mayor. Crescentia's life was made miserable. The sisters considered her a burden and assigned her menial tasks. But she maintained her sweet disposition and even discouraged some of the younger sisters from interceding on her behalf. Conditions improved when a new superior was elected and saw Crescentia's many virtues. In time, Crescentia quietly won the love and respect of the sisters. She was appointed mistress of novices and finally superior. The convent prospered under her leadership, and she became well known as a wise and prudent counselor. She died in 1744 and was canonized by Pope John Paul II in 2001. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Good morning. It's 19 minutes after the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth on Catholic Community Radio. You're listening to Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. We're happy you're with us on this holiest of Thursdays. We're joined this morning by Debbie Shelley. She is the assistant editor of the Catholic Commentator, the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to have you with us this morning, in particular to talk about this special Easter edition of the Catholic Commentator. Now, the first story right on the cover is Bishop Michael Duca's Easter message.
Oh, yes, it's and I consider it an Easter challenge. You know, people are used to saying Happy Easter, and the greeting is wonderful, but it does not get into the true meaning, the proclamation that of Jesus Christ rising from the dead. Mm-hmm. So what we are to proclaim is Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We are familiar with that.
Yes.
And while there's nothing wrong with have a happy Easter, it's mm-hmm. kind of generic and superficial. So he's would like us to proclaim out loud, and we must consider what we truly believe and how it reflects in our lives. And he realized it takes courage, a joyful courage, to make a public witness of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of his column, he says, as a beginning, right now, proclaim it out loud. Christ is risen, and somewhere know that the church is responding. He is risen indeed.
I love that. It's a wonderful article. And Bishop Duca talks about our faith being personal and private, and that how often it can be uncomfortable for people, even people of great faith, to say Christ is risen as a greeting on Easter. And the hope would be that the response from the person that you make that statement to will reply, He is risen indeed. And I do appreciate that he ends that with saying, even when you say it, if they don't respond, know that somewhere, as you said, Debbie, somewhere, someone in the church is responding. Christ has risen indeed. A wonderful article from our Bishop of Baton Rouge, Bishop Michael Duca. Also on the cover, Debbie, is a wonderful article about the richness of the Triduum, which we know begins today. This is an interview you had with Father Tom Ranzino. Tell us about that.
Yes, he said that Catholics are called to drop out of day-to-day occupations during the Triduum and to experience the richness of the Paschal Triduum mystery. And he explained that the Triduum is one liturgy that is punctuated in three places. You have Holy Thursday, where there's the washing of the feet and the commemoration of the Lord's Last Supper. And then he said we go home. And then on Good Friday, we pick up again. And there's no introductory rites. We start kneeling. The priests are prostrate. And there is the veneration of the cross, the proclamation of the gospel of St. John. And then we go home again. And some may keep a vigil on Saturday before the cross. And then we pick up on Holy Saturday, and we're doing what the church always does. There's communion, there's the proclamation of the word, there's communion, and then we're celebrating the birth of the church by the church of the Neophytes, and then what we do every Sunday, which is the celebration of the Great Easter. And so he calls us to take time to drop out and bring your kids to the liturgy. Keep it a sacred time. There's a lot of competition, spring break, you know, day-to-day concerns, but this is a special time for that. He said the Triduum is not a call to become a hermit. It's a call to not forget who you are. And when it comes down, he said, I think the Triduum is one of those, whether you're a priest, layperson, deacon, or nun, all of us have to just do it the best we can.
That's right. That's right. And I also appreciate, you know, I had never really thought about it, but Father Tom Ranzino points out in your interview with him, Debbie, that this is the shortest liturgical season and the most powerful. These 3 days that we're entering into tonight or today with Holy Thursday. Yeah. He also talks about that it isn't just what happens when we're in church, but that we're called to, as you mentioned, keep that season at church and in the home as we return home in between these wonderful liturgies that we attend during the Triduum. So, Debbie, I enjoyed this article that you have about these rosary-making aunt and niece. The 90-year-old and her niece making these rosaries for hospitals for adults and children. Tell us about what's going on in Darro, Louisiana.
Yeah, she was so delightful. She often gets up at 3 a.m. in the morning and starts the rosary-making process. And her niece will help her. She has a wonderful Catholic background, and she even has a sister and an aunt who became religious.
Yes, yes.
And she has a special bond with her niece who lost her mother, and she said that LeBlanc is my mama now, she explained. Mm-hmm. And after retiring, Karen, the niece, was looking for hobbies, and she picked up making rosaries as one of them. And so she called LeBlanc and asked her, would you like to do this? And she said, you have to show me how. And so they began the beautiful rosary making process. And what LeBlanc has, she coordinates the colors and counts out the beads. She has a system that's in the article, and her niece finishes the process, and they go to local hospitals, and it's very touching, the stories that are told out of there. One of the extraordinary ministers of the Eucharist who ministers at the local hospitals distributes rosaries after communion, and he said they remarked to the patient family members how beautiful the rosaries are. Frequently the family members are in tears and remark that the first time the patient family member, that it's the first time the member has smiled since being in the hospital.
Wow.
And that sometimes the patient has, you know, been unresponsive but will pray and respond. And he
beautiful.
Said just seeing the tears of joy and hearing the family stories is heartwarming. So out of her home in Darro, these are going out to local hospitals such as Our Lady of the Lake and the Children's Hospital and Baton Rouge General as well.
Mm-hmm.
And as a side note, that it led to the one family coming into the family this Easter. And
oh, my goodness.
There'll be that story in next issue. They
wow.
were so inspired by that they're going to be entering the church at Easter. That's one of the stories of that were shared. So,
What a beautiful ministry. Mrs. LeBlanc is 90 years old and continues to make these, waking up at 3 a.m. to put on a pot of coffee and make her rosaries with her niece, Karen. I love that Karen says she's a retired engineer. She doesn't know about colors. And Mrs. LeBlanc is a retired kindergarten teacher, organizes all the colors, counts everything out. And Karen sits and so lovingly strings all of those beautiful beads. So what a sweet story. This is so exciting. We've heard a little bit about this. We're so fortunate in our area to be so richly steeped in history, and in particular Catholic history. The Ascension of Our Lord Church in Donelsonville will celebrate their 250th year. Let's talk about this celebration and about this beautiful church, Debbie.
So, you know, the iconic 80-foot steeple of the Ascension of Our Lord has been just, you know, a beacon for people along the Mississippi River area, and it served, you know, the Ascension of Our Lord served under Spain, France, and the territory of Louisiana, as well as the Confederate States and the United States of America. It's been torn down and reconstructed three times in its history. And the latest, and that history is all in there. And the last and current building was constructed in 1885, and it took about 21 years to complete at $80,000.
That's amazing.
And when they celebrated their 100th anniversary, they put the steeple back up that had been missing for 60 years. Because it had been taken down at one point because it was deemed unsafe. So they're going to have a big celebration on April 15th at the 4 o'clock p.m. Mass afterwards. And Tony Orso, who has a wonderful history with Ascension Catholic, said, and he's organizing the event, said it will be like a big wedding reception for the church. So all the history and all the background and all that is in the article. But everyone's invited to that special celebration on April 15th.
Wonderful. Our Bishop of the Diocese of Baton Rouge, Bishop Michael Duca, will be the main celebrant of that 4 p.m. Mass. And also there'll be some folks coming back, Father Phil Spano, Donaldsonville native, Father Cleo Milano, and the current pastor, Father Matt Dupre. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Debbie. You can pick up a copy of The Commentator in the back of your church and retail outlets. Also, check it out at news.diovr.org. It's 1:30 on Wake Up.
Alrighty, happy Thursday morning, everyone. Welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Collado, along with Alicia Quivido and Gabby Smith, and a regular guest, Michael Accaldo, who is the CEO of St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge, here to give us an update. And boy, what a day to do it. I mean, mm-hmm. when you think about the fact that today's reading and Holy Thursday, the Lord's Last Supper, the washing of the feet, as I said, the Last Supper, but it focuses on the virtues of humility and charity. And if there's anybody in Baton Rouge who lives that on a daily basis, it's my buddy Michael Accaldo. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, Damian. Happy Triduum. And you introduced me as an executive, but I'm really just the chief feet washer. That's what it's all about. You know, you're right. I mean, Holy Thursday is so special to our church, our faith, and everything we do at St. Vincent de Paul is about serving others and loving one another as Christ did in that example of washing the disciples' feet. Mm-hmm. Just a powerful recognition of what we're all called to do. And your kind words about me were very nice, but it's never about us. It's always about how we can better the world and do it in such a way that we can in some way, some very small way, try to follow Christ's example, because his example is such a powerful one. And as Debbie shared with us about what Bishop Duca said about he is risen, that's what it's all about.
Yep. He is risen. And it's also about to serve rather than be served, Michael. And boy, how do you wake up every day and try to relay that message to the volunteers and even to the people who you would like to help get help from on a regular basis in the Baton Rouge community?
No doubt about it, Damian. I think whether you talk to me or you talk to any of our colleagues on the Gulf Coast, whether they're volunteers, staff members, or individuals that we're blessed to serve, I mean, they will tell you that being a part of this ministry is all about doing Christ's work, and what uplifts us is those who we are working alongside, those who we are serving, you know, on Easter Sunday, as well as every day of the year. Typically, a guest that if we are blessed to serve will start off the meal by saying the grace, saying mm-hmm. a prayer before the meal. And those prayers, you know, 365 of them a year, are some of the most powerful prayer said in our community, because they're, you know, people come to us, you know, with hope in their heart and faith that tells them that the Lord loves them, and some that through volunteers, through people who support the work of St. Vincent de Paul, they know God is going to be there for them. And so I think that's really what's so powerful about the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, as well as all of the church ministries that really work so hard to fulfill the gospel message of reaching out to those in need. It is all about seeing the face of Christ in those you serve. And as many St. Vincent de Paul members will tell you, if you do a really good job, maybe they see Christ in you as well. And that's what it's all about.
Yes. So what are the plans for St. Vincent de Paul in the Baton Rouge area to help the needy for Easter this year?
Well, look, thanks to All Catholic Community Media does for St. Vincent de Paul and all the various works that we do. Y'all do such a great job of getting the message out. You know, we've already given out over 4,000 Easter baskets to children in need. And that, I was with some of the volunteers this weekend that were passing out some of the baskets, and I made a few remarks, and I said, you know, it's amazing. We've done over 3,000 baskets, and our volunteer coordinator, Ms. Deshae Martin, kind of tapped my arm and said, 4,000. And so we even went past.
You're setting
goal.
A record
there
each year. Yeah.
Yeah, every year it seems to be more, Damien, every year, and it's just amazing. You can't do it without the support of people who volunteer their time, who give not only items, but also financially to provide that. You know, we're all, you know, Christmas toys, we spend so much time on that during the Christmas season. Easter season is the most important. The Triduum and the Easter season that follows is the most important time of the church year. And so as we move forward, it's always important to recognize that. I think the Build-A-Basket effort's all about that. Of course, we'll have Easter baskets for any children that come to us on Easter Sunday. We'll be there with our traditional Easter Sunday meal, which includes ham and all the fixings. And it'll be a real special time, as it is every Easter Sunday. And hopefully this rain will get out of here, because it's never fun when it rains on Thanksgiving, Christmas, or Easter. And
no.
A lot of times we're blessed with not seeing much rain, to be honest with you. After 34 years, I think I can count on two or three fingers the times that it has really rained on those very special days.
I think we're going to have a very nice Easter Sunday for sure. Mike, in the final 2 minutes, you're going to be participating along with a lot of other local organizations and community leaders in the Way of the Cross tomorrow. You mentioned rain. I understand that if it is raining, they're going to continue, but it'll be within St. Joseph Cathedral, the Way of the Cross, instead of outside, like the plans are intended as of now.
That's exactly correct, and I just hats off to Catholic Charities. They do such a wonderful job leading that effort, and we feel very special to be a part of it. And all the years that I have participated, I don't ever recall it raining. I know it's been close. I know it's drizzled a little bit. Hopefully there might be an opportunity for us to do it the regular way outside, but whether it's inside or out, you know, Bishop Duca will be there, kick us off, and most importantly, Jesus will be with us, and most importantly, we'll be there for Jesus as well. And so it's a powerful thing, and if anybody's out there that's never participated, I'd encourage them to do so. It's a wonderful way to live your faith on Good Friday.
Yeah, and the various organizations will be at a station as a form of representation, right? Which station, have they told you what station you'll be at?
Yes, Poverty and Homelessness, and which is the second station. Also the third station that, again, recognizes the importance of reaching out to people who are truly in need. And all of the stations are so well represented by agencies throughout the community that make a difference. And certainly, you know, Catholic Charities, St. Vincent de Paul, and all the ministries of the church do so much to make that gospel message of serving those in need come to life.
Amen. Well, Michael, where do people go if they want to learn more about St. Vincent de Paul in Baton Rouge or make a donation?
Thank you, Damon. SVDPBR.org. And we just want to thank you and all the ladies there that make such a difference with Catholic Community Media. Thank you, and we hope you have a great Triduum as well as Easter season. Talk to you again next month.
You too. The Lord is risen, my brother.
Yes, indeed. He has.
Okay. Have a good one, Michael. Good to talk to you. We'll talk to you next month. All righty. Boy, serve rather than be served. And guess what? The good Lord will make sure you receive his graces. So you will get something in return. Don't forget that. Especially not only for Easter, but year-round. All right, folks, don't go too far. It is 45 after the hour on Wake Up.
It is 48 past the hour. You're listening to Wake Up and tuning your heart to the truth on this Holy Thursday. I'm Gabby Smith along with Alicia Quibido and Damian Collado. Our next guest is Father Bryce Higginbotham. Father Bryce is a priest of the Diocese of Homo-Thibodeau. He is also a student at the Pontifical Biblical Institute in Rome. And today he joins us to tell us a little bit about the Triduum and why we should reflect on this holiest of time of the year in our church calendar. Good morning, Father Bryce. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Good morning, Gabby. It's good to be with y'all.
It's good to have you with us, and today is, of course, Holy Thursday. So take us through the Triduum. This is the shortest liturgical season, the holiest of our entire church calendar, and I feel like I learn a little bit more every time we enter into this time of the year. So take us through these holiest of days.
Yeah. Well, the first thing to ask is, what does Triduum mean? Right, and so Triduum means three, and so we've got 3 days. But that also gets confusing. What 3 days? Like, I was having dinner with the family last night, and I said, okay, so what's the Triduum? And they said, well, it's Holy Thursday, and it's Good Friday, and, well, is it Holy Saturday, or is it Easter Sunday? And the reason that that's confusing is because we start counting days like ancient Jews when we get into the Triduum, rather than like Christians in 2023. So the days in the ancient Jewish calendar, the day started at, and even the modern Jewish calendar, the day started at sunset. And so the Triduum is these three sacred days where we celebrate, where we remember, and where we enter into the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And they start on Holy Thursday night. That's why the Mass of the Lord's Supper is at night on Holy Thursday, not during the day, not in the morning, not in the afternoon, but at night, because the Passover started at night. So the first day of the Triduum is from more or less sunset on today, on Holy Thursday, until sunset on Good Friday. And then the second day of the Triduum is from sunset on Good Friday until sunset on Holy Saturday. And then as a lot of people know, but maybe not everybody, that's why the Easter Vigil, which is on Saturday night, cannot start. It is not allowed. The rule, it is forbidden to start the Easter Vigil before sunset, because it's supposed to be a vigil. Vigil means like to keep awake or to stay awake and to keep watch, to be ready. So it's a vigil as we stay awake for some time through the night to be prepared for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ on like first thing when he rose from the dead, like first thing Sunday morning. So the third day of the Triduum is from sunset on Holy Saturday through or until sunset on Easter Sunday. And those are the three sacred days.
You know, when I was a kid, I really didn't participate in the Triduum as far as we go on Thursday, we go on Friday to church, and then Saturday or Sunday. Although on the flip side, my husband, that was a yearly tradition where they went as children. I think it's different for everyone. So how can we as a family participate in the Triduum this year, even if it's attending maybe the veneration of the cross and then going on Easter Sunday? But how can we do that this year?
Yeah. Well, the best thing to do, if it's possible, is to just go to church for each of the liturgies. There's a special Mass, like we said, on Holy Thursday night. There's not a Mass. We don't have Mass. The only day of the year, right, where there's no Mass is that second day of the Triduum, Good Friday into Holy Saturday. But there is a liturgy where, like you said, we venerate the cross, where we receive Holy Communion if we're in a state of grace. There on, in most places, at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. It's at 3 o'clock in most places because that's the time where Jesus, in fact, died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And then the Easter Vigil. Like, Easter Vigil is like the biggest Mass, the biggest liturgy of the whole year. And so for those who can, to go to church and to participate, especially at the same church, if possible, like at the same parish, not to hop around during these 3 days, but it's kind of one liturgy all together. And so to go and to pray. But for some people, that's not possible. And some people have young kids. And, it's hard for the, and you know, especially the Easter Vigil on Saturday night is really long. And so it's hard sometimes for kids to sit through it, or bedtimes and things. And so whether you can go to all of the liturgies or not, a very, very important thing is to keep, like, the spirit of the Triduum in the house. So on Friday, it should be somber. Turn off the TV and take time to pray. Take time to be, sit, even for the kids, and kids can do this, get uncomfortable in the silence. Pray the rosary or pray the Stations of the Cross. There are so many awesome Stations of the Cross resources, even for kids, that you can do at your house, even if you can't go to the church because of the situation in your life. So I think that's my two answers to your question, Gabby, is one, if you can, like, go to church and pray the liturgies and do them at the same church and walk through this kind of one liturgy together over the 3 days. And whether you can do that or not, like, let the spirit of the days, especially the somberness of Friday and Saturday, be in your house by being quiet, by doing some extra prayer, maybe the Stations of the Cross. And then Sunday, have fun. Have a party, cook something good, eat something nice. It's Easter, and like, the Lord is risen.
Absolutely, definitely. So what does this mean to you as a priest, Father Bryce? We have about a minute and a half left. You're always so excited about your vocation, and for many priests, this is one of their favorite times of the year.
Yeah, it is, because this is it. Like, this is the thing. Jesus Christ came all, like, he's God, and he came all the way down to heaven. Right? He was consumed with the Virgin Mary. He was born at Christmas, like, all for this. This is the climax, where he died. He, like, thrust the sword of the cross into the heart of the earth, destroyed the power of sin and of death and of hell so that we could be free and we could be saved. And he proved that he was and is God, and he proved that he had conquered by rising from the dead on Easter Sunday. This is it. Like, this is the thing. This is where we most fully, most powerfully enter into that mystery, is in those 3 days. So, yeah, this is it. This is the thing. Also, on Holy Thursday morning, I'm about to go to Homa in a little while for the Chrism Mass, where the bishop consecrates and blesses the oils for the year. And we priests make renew our vows every single year on Holy Thursday morning, because this is the day where Jesus instituted the priesthood and the Eucharist. So for us, that's an extra special thing on top of the 3 days of the Triduum.
And an exciting time in the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux with your new bishop, Bishop Mario Dorsonville. So I know that you are excited about that, and we'll be keeping you and the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux in our prayers. Father Bryce Higginbotham, priest of the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux and a student at the Pontifical Biblical Institute in Rome, before we let you go, may we ask for a priestly blessing from you as we close out today's show?
Of course. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son to die for us and to rise from the dead. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to give us life and to make us your adopted sons and daughters. Please pour out your blessing upon us. Please give us a spirit of repentance and of deep holiness in these most sacred 3 days of the sacred Paschal Triduum. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord let his face shine upon you and show you his mercy. May the Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Bryce. A blessed Triduum to you and your family. Happy Easter.
Thank you. Same to y'all.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us today. We will not have a show tomorrow on Good Friday. We're going to be spending time with our families, but we will be back on Monday with a new episode on Wake Up. So a blessed Triduum to you and your family, a happy and safe Easter, and have a wonderful Thursday and a great Triduum. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.